Good morning. Just a couple announcements. First, a reminder that tonight we're having a youth group meeting at 6 p.m. and we'll be meeting in the Undercroft. It's our game night. Also, the women are having a welcome dinner for Joanna Lee. They're going to be doing it this coming Thursday, and today is the last day to really kind of sign up for it. There are some details in the back of your bulletin. I think you just would need to email Tracy Harris if you're interested in attending. But if you haven't signed up yet, please feel free to do so today. Our Old Testament reading for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the 50th chapter of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the third chapter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. And he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A father brought his son to Jesus' disciples, and the father was really worried about his son. His son was possessed by a demon. The demon would try to throw the boy in water and drown him. The demon would try to throw the boy in fire to burn him. The father was so worried about his son. But in spite of what his father saw attacking his son every single day, this father still believed Jesus could help. This father believed Jesus could cure his son. So the father took his son to Jesus' disciples so his son could be healed. I can't imagine how disappointed the father must have been when Jesus' disciples failed to heal the boy. Jesus' disciples had removed other demons, but not this one. This father believed in Jesus. The father wanted to believe that his son could still be healed. But right now, his son is still foaming at the mouth, still writhing around on the ground. What was this father supposed to believe now? Finally, Jesus himself showed up. And when Jesus came, the father said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus basically said to him, if I can, well, of course I can. And the father of that demon-possessed boy gave such an honest response to Jesus. He immediately said to Jesus, I do believe. Please help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. If you are a Christian, I think you've probably been there at some point. There's probably been a time in your life when you maybe even uttered that same phrase out loud as a prayer. Lord, help my unbelief. Or had that thought. Or at least wished your faith was stronger under temptation or under hardship. We may pray that prayer when one of our own family members is hurting. Maybe they're sick, and it's painful to watch. We believe Jesus can deliver and will one day. One day Jesus will deliver all of us. We believe, but staring us right in the face right now is that family member with an illness that doesn't look like it will ever go away or feel like it will ever go away. So in those moments we pray, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Or think about when a disease hits us, and it hits us hard. Funny thing about diseases, they rarely announce that they're coming. And they can come out of the blue, knock us off of our feet with such surprise. On a daily basis, we don't usually contemplate that one day we're going to die. Not usually. But when a serious disease or an illness hits us, and that reality of dying is staring us in the eye, all of a sudden death becomes very real. And we may pray to God in those moments, "I believe. Help my unbelief." For us Christians, death, when someone dies, that really may be that time when faith is tested the most. After a death happens, we do believe there will be a resurrection of the dead. We do believe. But right now, in that moment, what we see every day in our home is now an empty chair where our loved one used to sit. We do believe that Jesus will raise us from the dead. But right now, all we may see is a tombstone in a cemetery. We do believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is a heaven. But right now, sometimes, in the face of death, we might feel like living is more of a hell instead of a heaven. In those moments, we pray with all our heart, "Lord, I do believe, but please help my unbelief." In our gospel reading, a father sought healing for his demon-possessed son. That father was looking for anyone to cure his son, like any parent would want. But the only one who could cure his son was Jesus. And Jesus did cure that boy by getting rid of that demon. But you know what? Maybe the greater miracle that day was not in the removing of the demon. The father cried out, just like we all do sometimes, "I do believe, help my unbelief." And Jesus did a great miracle for him. Jesus proved that the father could believe in Jesus, because Jesus always does what he's saying he's going to do. And now the father could have faith in Jesus, because he knew Jesus is always going to be faithful. And that father could trust in Jesus, because he now knew that Jesus is always going to prove himself to be trustworthy. Jesus proved he was faithful to that father of that little boy. Jesus proved he was trustworthy to that father. And hasn't Jesus also proven to you that he is faithful to you, and he is trustworthy to you? "I believe, but please help my unbelief." I think that is a wonderful prayer for us Christians to say. It is wonderful because there is nothing greater God wants to do for you than to strengthen your faith in him. And he alone can strengthen your faith in him, because he alone is always faithful to you. And he alone can strengthen your trust in him, because he alone is always going to be trustworthy to you. Everything Jesus ever did was so that you could have faith in him. Everything Jesus ever did was so that you could trust him. Born in this world in human flesh, Jesus lived a perfect life, all for you. Rising from the dead 3 days later, after he offered his life on a cross for you, Jesus then brings a perfect resurrection for you. And Jesus gives that to you as a gift. The most amazing, unearned, undeserved gift in all of creation that we've all been given. Because of everything Jesus has done for you, you can believe in him. Because of everything Jesus did for you, you can have faith in him. Because of everything Jesus has done for you, you can trust him. Our faith does not depend upon ourselves. Faith only looks to Christ. So I don't care if you have a mustard seed of faith, a tiny speck, or if you have a mustard tree of enormous faith, overflowing. All faith just looks to Jesus. Faith depends upon Jesus and everything Jesus has done for you. And he's done for you a lot. So when an illness comes and we experience in a really real way that we are mortal and we could die, we don't have to leave it at just that. We do believe in the resurrection of Jesus. We do. So in those moments when we are concerned about living or dying, especially in those moments, Jesus says to you, always remember my words to the thief on the cross, who was also staring death right in the face. And what I said to him, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And right now, when death follows us around our homes, as we see the empty chair where a loved one always sat, when we see reminders of them in objects, and in those moments when maybe in tears you eke out a prayer, help my unbelief, there is nothing greater and more soothing for us than when Jesus points us back to his resurrection. Jesus has promised for all who have been baptized into him that his resurrection from the dead is also your resurrection from the dead. You will not die. You will live in him. I know a lot of us may stare death in the face right now at times. And like that father in our gospel reading, you may feel torn between what you are staring at in this world while at the same time having faith in what Jesus promises you. And so we all pray, I believe, but help my unbelief. And through Christ, God is helping you believe every single time. He is helping you. Because your faith was never in yourself. Your faith is always in Christ. And you will never be disappointed with what Christ has done for you. And because of that, you can have faith in him. We will all wrestle with different ways of unbelief at times. We all will. But the greatest cure, the only cure, is Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the dead, which he did all for you. And you can trust in what Jesus has done for you, because Jesus can be trusted. And you can have faith in what Jesus has done for you. Because Jesus will always, always be faithful to you. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.